Well, Isaiah 26, verse 3 says this, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." You know, this past several months, I was noticing some different videos. Sometimes you have videos pop up here and there on your devices, and one of the ones that kept coming up over and over was this doctor who was giving babies shots. Now, for a lot of you, you know, this is not a fun experience when you have to take your small baby to get shots. And some of us have had some really bad experiences where, you know, kids screaming and crying, and I know my kids didn't like it. So whenever I watched this, I was sort of amazed because, you know, for a lot of parents, that whole thing is like traumatic for them and the kid, you know, and the baby's crying, everything's happening. Well, this one doctor they had filmed this doctor and how he gives these baby shots, and it went viral because, well, when the doctor was getting the baby's attention and holding the shot, now I think most of the time the kid's kind of aware that something's going to happen. They're in a doctor's office most of the time. Some of them are too small to know, but, you know, he has the shot in his hand and he's got different things and he's kind of, you know, tapping the baby on the shoulder and kind of doing this and having fun. He does this for a while. So much so that the kid kind of just sort of, you know, oh yeah, okay, he's just playing around with me, everything's cool, and, you know, the kid's thinking that you know, everything's fine. All of a sudden, boop, you know, he gives the kid the shot, and the baby barely knew anything happened, and I was sort of amazed by this, because I'd never seen a kid just sit there like that. You know, I thought, man, that's a really good trick, and, you know, I thought, is it a distraction or is it a redirection of focus? And I kind of, you know, thought that video, I've seen it over and over, and some of you know what I'm talking about. And if I could have found it, I maybe would have shown you this morning, but, you know, it's kind of not important to see the video, just to know the scenario. But, you know, when I saw that, it made me think that sometimes things are harder because we're staring at them in the face. We're worrying about them on the front side. We build up to this thing that because of our focus, we make it worse than it actually has to be. And, you know, as I think about that scenario, I think it's a redirection of focus many times can help us. And, of course, our wrong focus can make things worse, right? What am I really talking about? Well, I'm really talking about the subject of worry. And let me ask you a question, an honest question this morning is, do you worry sometimes in your life? Or overly concerned with something we can't change? And the Bible warns us not to do this. There are several quotes that I want to read you guys when it comes to worry. Worry, it's been said, gives a small thing a big shadow. It's been said that worry over tomorrow pulls shadows over today's sunshine. Man, is that true? So many times we're worried about something happening in the future, or maybe not, it's going to happen, you know, and it makes us bummed out, you know, in the day, in the now. But did you know that worry will not help you, but only hurt you? I believe it was Warren Wiersbe that talked about the actual word worry in the New Testament refers to being strangled. And many times our worries can strangle us. They can almost suck the life out of us. It's been said that worry is like a rocking chair. It will give you something to do, but it won't get you anywhere at all. That's exactly what worry does. But did you know, and last question, did you know that worry is a sin? You know, a lot of times we think about different sins and things that are out there. You know, there's drunkenness, there's cursing, there's all kinds of things that the Bible says these are bad things. But a lot of times we forget that worry is a sin. It's choosing to not believe God for what He says. It's really saying that, hey, I need to take care of myself. God can't do it. Jesus said, why are you going to worry about, you know, these things when God's taking care of so much more in your life? That's paraphrase. A couple of great Bible teachers that I love to quote. John Wesley said this, "I dare not fret any more than I dare curse or swear." Worry, or fret, as it's called in Old English, he equated to cursing or swearing. But a lot of times we don't even see the danger or the problem with worrying. Some of us, like myself before I was a Christian, thought that worrying about things actually made better things happen in the future. Well, that's not true. This makes you grow more gray hair, you know. Donald Gray Barnhouse, another great preacher, said that worrying is the caressing of the old nature. Ooh. You're sort of feeding the flesh. There's a part of us, a sinful side, that likes to worry. We think that by over-concerning ourselves with things we can't change, that we can sort of control it. That we won't be as scared. But ultimately, worry is just feeding our old nature. And here's the idea. I'm talking all about this stuff about worry because today we were looking in our text, we're learning about God's perfect peace. And just in this one verse, there's three parts to this verse that really encourage us in some practical ways when it comes to experiencing the peace of God in our lives. We need God's perfect peace because our flesh wants to worry and be anxious. You know, the Bible says that anxiety in the heart of man leads to depression, but a good word makes it glad. And anxiety is really the unchecked habit of worrying that turns into being over-concerned to an anxious point, and that ultimately leads to depression. It's a scary thing. We need God's peace, don't we? There are three things that this verse teaches us about God's perfect peace, and they'll be up on the screen as we move through this. But the first thing that we learn is the promise of peace at the beginning of verse 3. And then we're going to see the place of peace in the middle of verse 3. And then we're going to see the practice of peace at the end of verse 3. Three things: the promise, the place, the practice. Zooming out a little bit, remember, as we've been studying through the book of Isaiah, we're learning a lot about God. We're learning a lot about how, well, that God deals with people in order to teach them good lessons to do what's right. And Isaiah is a very long book, and we've come to a section in chapters 24 through 27 that really deals with the end of the world, to keep it simple. And in chapters 25 through 27 is really some things that are sung in song and even that are going to happen during the what's called the kingdom age, when Jesus, according to the scriptures, will rule and reign from Jerusalem for 1,000 years. And what we're reading here today is actually a song. We learned about worship last week in chapter 25. We were challenged by those end times worshipers as we looked, starting with chapter 24, about this end times earth. And now as we get into chapter 26, and we'll study 26 and 27 most likely together next week, this is a song that will be sung to the Lord when He reigns in Jerusalem for 1,000 years. And even though Isaiah is predicting the future for even still us today, this one small little verse contains truth that can transform us today. Truth that can help us when it comes to right thinking, having a right focus, right priorities. It's the peace that comes from a right focus on the Lord. And it tells us how we can experience this peace. I want to pause for a second and just get your attention. Aren't a lot of people looking for peace in their lives? Some are trying to find it through drugs and alcohol. Some are trying to find it through fame and fortune. Some are trying to find peace through having everything figured out and in order in their lives. But ultimately, none of those things that we look for in the world are bad in and of themselves, but many times we don't understand that God is the one that wants to be the source of peace in our lives. Without Him, everything else is broken. Everything else is out of place. And so here in verse 3, we first come to the promise of peace. Pay attention to the first part of this verse and notice what it says there as you look in your Bibles. It says, "You will keep him in perfect peace." Who are we talking about here? You will keep him. You will keep the believer. You will keep the follower of the Lord in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Those last two things are sort of prerequisites. If you want to experience God's peace, you got to have your mind in the right place and an active trust in the Lord. But the idea is, what is peace? I want to leave you today with a good understanding of peace. What is it? Well, let me pause and say this. The definition that's found here is the word in Hebrew, shalom. And it means an inner tranquility. But some have offered different ideas when it comes to peace, that peace is the conscious possession of adequate resources from God. Peace is the deliberate adjustment of my life to the will of God. Peace, according to Alexander McLaren, a really old school preacher, he said, peace comes not from the absence of trouble, but from the presence of God. Pay attention to that quote because there's a lot of insight there. The presence of God. It's peace that comes from the presence of God in our lives. Now, this is very different from peace with God. This is the peace of God. And so, as you're taking notes and we think about the promise of peace, well, what is this a promise for? Well, what is peace and what is it not? Well, the first thing we have to understand is that peace, according to the Bible, is a fruit of the Spirit. According to Galatians chapter 5, fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Here's what you got to understand, is that Paul's talking to believers there in Galatians chapter 5, and the idea is that peace is a fruit of the Spirit, meaning that you have to be born again to experience the peace of God. It's a byproduct of the Holy Spirit working and moving in our hearts and leading us into the truth and guiding us into the will of God. Let me keep it simple for you guys. There is an inner rest that comes with putting our arm around the Lord and walking side by side with Him every day of our lives. There is this rest, this peace. It's a byproduct of being near the Lord. That's the idea of it being a fruit of the Spirit. And what does that mean? Well, that's the idea of prayer. It's the idea of seeking the Lord. It's the idea of worshiping the Lord, drawing near to the Lord. Peace is a fruit of the Spirit. Peace could also be defined as a spiritual rest of soul, even in adversity. Even when there's crazy stuff going on in our lives, the peace of God is it's inside of us. It's coming from the Spirit. It's causing us to have a sense of everything's going to be okay because God is in my life. This is the kind of peace God wants us to experience. Did you know that the peace that's talked about here, the peace of God, this perfect peace, is one of the guides of God's will? In other words, when we're praying about what God wants us to do, one of the things when we take steps is that we're going to have a peace about moving in a certain direction and doing certain things. There's going to be an inner sense, this is right, this is good, this is what I feel the Lord wants me to do. God's peace guides us. So what is the opposite of that? What is peace not? What is this perfect peace not talking about? Well, let me just clear some things up. Because a lot of times when you talk about peace that surpasses all understanding, as it's talked about, and I'll read you here soon in Philippians chapter 4. Look, peace, the perfect peace of God, is not having a fearless life. You know, you have to understand, as a Christian and as a follower of the Lord, many times as you walk out with the Lord, there's going to be times when you're scared to death. Times I'm scared to death of the teenagers that live in my home. Lord, help me, please. I have fear, but that fear doesn't control me. And so understand that you can have the peace of God, but you can also have a lot of fear in your life. And don't misunderstand, because sometimes people will assume, because I have fear at all, I must not have God's peace. No, 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 that's just you being human. And God will give you peace and help you think clearly about what He wants you to do next. When it comes to the peace of God, this perfect peace, it's not a disconnect from reality. And what I mean by that is a coldness or indifference to things going on around us. That Christians are somehow numb to everything that happens around them. Christians should have empathy, feeling what others feel in a compassionate way. But having the peace of God is not being disconnected from reality. We're still aware of the things going on around us, but it doesn't control us. Well, the peace of God is not peace with God. What do I mean by that? Well, the Bible says we all have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, salvation is when we find peace with God. But the peace of God is something totally different. It's something that is a byproduct of the Lord working in and through our lives. And let me just pause for a second to get you to consider. I've been saved almost 22 years now. When I first got saved, there were things that happened in my life that I thought were so big and so huge. And the Lord helped me to deal with those things. Friendships that were lost. Difficulties with finances. Different things that would pop up here and there. But as I began to walk with the Lord, I realized that although those things were concerning, God was bigger than my problems. And the awareness of who God was caused me to see that those big problems were actually very small for Him. And it caused me to not freak out as much. And that has been the literal idea of my walk with the Lord since. God's been telling me, look, you thought that was a big deal? I'll take care of it. You thought that was a problem? Well, I'll show you how to navigate that. And when it comes to the peace of God, it's something we're meant to grow in. And the purpose of peace is to provide stability and guidance in our lives. And God's peace really is a much needed provision. Pause and sort of write out that word, provision. It's a much needed provision for us. Because there's so much chaos going on around us. There's even chaos in our own flesh if we don't feed the Spirit. If we don't grow in our walk with the Lord. And God says here a very important promise: you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. I want you to notice the two main ideas of this first part of verse 3. You will keep him and perfect peace, these two parts. When it says there that God will keep him, that is keep the believer, it's guard or protect, like a military garrison would guard an area. God wants to guard our hearts with his peace. When you see perfect peace there, it's interesting because you don't see this in the English. Most of us read that it says perfect peace. You know, if you were to look at this in Hebrew, it would say shalom, shalom. It's peace, peace. You will keep him in peace, peace. You will keep him in shalom, shalom, y'all. Double peace. Why is that? Why does Isaiah say that twice? Well, the interesting thing is that it creates an emphasis. In Hebrew, saying things twice in repetition communicated intensity. And it isn't just shalom, but shalom, shalom. Perfect peace. Lasting peace. Restful peace that we can receive from the Lord. Even in the midst of great difficulty. I want to pause and get you to consider, you know, you don't realize God's peace sometimes until you have adversity in your life. Think about it. If you have been working out and been healthy, you don't realize you're in shape until you actually have to do something out of the blue exercise. But we all know the other side of the equation, right? You realize you're out of shape when something comes up and you go, oh man, I couldn't even do that. I'm dying over here. I need to go back to the gym. Sometimes it's in adversity that we experience peace. So don't be discouraged. Sometimes hard things will come and we will begin to lean on God's peace and on the presence of the Lord, and it causes us to see more clearly the peace of God. But what an awesome promise God gives us here in His Word. God promises that we can have this and be kept in a place of perfect peace regardless of what's going on around us. But remember, it doesn't mean that we're disconnected. It doesn't mean that we're numb. It just means we're not controlled by what's going on around us. But this is a byproduct of the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Perfect peace. Isaiah is telling us here very plainly that God will guard, protect, and preserve the heart of the individual with this inner tranquility of soul when that person has their mind on Him and walks in an active trust of the Lord. You know, Paul communicates something very similar in the New Testament. And it's interesting, sometimes you'll find a concept in the Old Testament that's very small. And because the New Testament sheds light on the Old Testament, it expands in the New Testament. And this is one of those examples. We talk about perfect peace in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament, this is what Paul said. And again, I want you to write this down, and I'm going to read it to you twice. Philippians 4, 6-9. Listen, Paul said this. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. And the things which you learned and received and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Perfect peace, rest of the heart and mind, freedom from worry and anxiety are found only as we learn to commit all our ways to the Lord and look to Him and Him alone to lead us. That's where we find peace. It's as we give heed to the instructions, like what we just read here in Philippians 4, 6 through 9, that this peace of God guards our heart. Like an army guards a place, God's peace wants to guard our heart. But there are some prerequisites. We have to have our mind in the right place, and we have to have an active trust, an active faith in our lives, which is what we'll talk about next. Isn't it awesome to think rest of heart and mind? This is something that we can have. We can have this inner peace, and it can grow in our lives as we get our focus in the right place. Let me pause and get you to consider what happens when you watch the Communist News Network too long. I think a lot of us get in the flesh. And I bag on CNN all the time, but there's other places and there's other things that we can put our minds to. You can watch some game shows and be so disturbed and upset and in the flesh that you say, I probably shouldn't have watched that. Well, the same is true on the positive side. We can have our eyes on the Lord, on right things, on good things, and we can walk away feeling fed, encouraged, and having a perspective that, guess what, makes our attitude better. Because don't we need attitude adjustments? But a lot of times it has to do with our thinking. It has to do with our perspective. We desperately need perfect peace in our lives, don't we? But listen, as we ponder that peace, I want you to consider the words of Jesus. Jesus talked about this. And this is what Jesus said in John 14, verse 27. Listen to what Jesus said. John 14, 27. Write it down. Go back and ponder it for a while. He said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Jesus talked about this peace. You know, the world around us can't understand the peace that we have in Jesus Christ because they haven't been spiritually made alive. They haven't been born again. You know, when someone told me about spiritual things when I was not saved, I thought they were nuts. This person's crazy. Why are they singing these songs? Why are they talking about the blood of Jesus? None of this stuff matters to me. And then I got saved and I wanted to go find that person. Tell me everything you know. It's not until you have spiritual life that you care about spiritual things. But this peace of God, so important to experience the peace of God in your life. You know, whenever people look at Christians and they're a bunch of stressed out, worried people, they say, they're no different from me. Why should I believe or follow anything that they say? But when people see Christians who are going through hard stuff, who say, you know what? I just have a peace about what's happening in my life. I know God's allowed it. I know God's working. I don't like it. It's not making me happy to go through this trial. But I have a peace. There's a rest. Man, it speaks volumes to people about the existence of God. See, many times skeptics will point and say, you know, because you follow this loving God, why doesn't He make everything hunky-dory in your life? Well, because the only way to sharpen something is to put it in friction. The only way to develop something is to mold it and purify it. And that's what God is doing. And we go through that, but we have peace in the process. And so Jesus talked about this peace. This perfect peace is a promise. And I want to encourage you, there's no qualification. You don't have to be this super spiritual person. You just have to have your mind in the right place and your life focused in a certain way to experience this peace. Because how many of us have fears come up on our radar and it almost takes control of our perspective and our lives, and we get derailed thinking about things that maybe don't ever happen, but completely ruin our attitude for the day. This is the way God wants to grow us. This is what this verse is teaching us. We also see in verse 3 the place of peace. And this is very important to pay attention to, because this answers the question, how do we get the perfect peace of God? Okay, step number 1. Notice what it says there in your Bibles. Whose mind is stayed on television. No. Whose mind is stayed on the internet. No. Whose mind is stayed on you, that is the Lord. I'm just being funny, because don't we have our minds in so many different places? So many times we're distracted on all sides when we just need to choose to be redirected. Something I read the other day, and I feel led to even kind of throw this out there. There are many times for a lot of us that solitude could do wonders for the amount of peace that we have in our lives. Here's what I mean by solitude. No distractions, no kids beating down the door, wanting snacks, getting some crackers and lock them in the room or something. I don't know. Get out of here. Go eat this. Leave me alone. Some solitude. Time away from stuff in responsible ways, of course. But they talked about, one thing I read about solitude, just being by ourselves, going for walks, even when you're married or when you have a big family, but time alone with you and the Lord can help us to process things. Because sometimes we get overloaded. But the Bible tells us here, how do we get this perfect peace? How can we quiet our fears and our worries? I want to throw out an illustration that I think makes a lot of sense. Some of us have heard and even have noise-canceling headphones. You know, they're headphones, usually that cover your whole ear, that produce the opposite sounds, a mirror image of the sounds going on in a room, inside of your ears. And you would think, well, wait a minute, if it's loud out here, and the same sound or the opposite sound is in my ears, how's that going to work? Well, it cancels out the noise. Because in the world of sound, when you have two opposite sound waves hitting each other, they cancel each other out. It's called anti-noise. And they're, of course, started making this because of baggage handlers and people that work around really loud environments. They not only have to have ear protection, they have to have, in order to keep their sanity, something that blocks out all of the sound. And so the only way to do that is to create the opposite reverberations that then cancel out what's around them, and what you have is almost perfect silence. Some of you are like, I gotta go find out about these noise canceling headphones. Some of you moms are like, save me, please. You know, it's like, hey, good for Father's Day. I had to get rid of mine because my wife would be telling me something so many times that I couldn't hear anything anybody was saying. It was kind of heavenly to be in a very quiet place for a long time. Some of you say, well, I would just fall asleep. Maybe, yeah, that can happen. But here's the point of me telling you the story about noise-canceling headphones and about this idea of anti-noise, because this idea, in the same way, we can cancel out our worries and our fears with the anti-noise of God's Word. Because it's not about us blocking out the sounds. We need to hear and see the opposite many times, and getting in God's Word and getting our eyes on the Lord is us having our focus in the right place. It's a very powerful thing. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about how we should use our brains, how we should use our minds. And a lot of times, there are people that say, well, I need to empty my mind. Well, that's Eastern meditation. That's something that a lot of gurus and people will teach about emptying your minds. You know, the Bible says the opposite, that meditation, according to the Bible, is filling your mind with God's truth. Not in a way that's redundant or meaningless, but in a way where your mind is constantly being saturated with truth that you connect with personally, that you hold on to, And this is exactly what we find here, the second part of verse 3. God's peace in our lives brings a much needed perspective. But God's word and a focus on the Lord in our lives brings God's peace. They sort of feed off of each other. Notice what it says, whose mind is stayed on you. The word mind there refers to imagination, or really, to put it simply, something thought of in the mind. I think for a lot of us, we understand how insane it is for anybody to ever see our thoughts. Like, that's just scary, isn't it? I mean, that just freaks you out. Like, I don't want anyone to ever know what's going on in my brain, because my brain just randomly thinks things and there's stuff going on, you know. And so all of us know that our minds can go all kinds of different places. And I've found over the years that what helps me is to always hold on to certain passages of Scripture and certain truth. One that stands out to me the most is in this world of temptation and just all these fleshly things. Constantly in my mind I say, you know, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father but is of the world. And the world is passing away, but he who does the will of God abides forever. And I just run that through my head. But all this stuff, all the bling, all the temptation is just temporary stuff that doesn't matter in forever. But Scripture in our minds is very important. And something that we need to think about, according to this verse, is the mind that stayed on the Lord. Stayed on you is actually one phrase. It means to lean on. It means to lay on or be sustained by. So one way to think about this, and one way to understand what Isaiah is telling us here, is it's some very important information that our perspective is formed by what our thoughts are laying on or are leaning on. Sound familiar? In Proverbs 3:5, you know, it tells us, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. That's the same word here, stayed. Lean, same word. Don't lean on your own understanding, but lean on the Lord. It's been said, I love this quote, there will be no peace as long as God remains unseated at the conference table of your life. So the more you sit down with the Lord, allow Him to be involved in your life, the more peace you will experience. Some of us have found this to be true. And one of the things I want you to think about is a mind that is stayed on the Lord is a mind that prays to the Lord. The mind that stays is the mind that prays, giving God that place, allowing the Lord to be there in front of us as our focus. If you're taking notes, I want you to write this down, because this is something that the Bible teaches in principle that we don't have time to get into in a lot of detail, but I want you to understand the concept. The Bible says that in our minds, we got the eye gates and the ear gates. We receive information, right? So it goes in the mind, it goes to the heart, which is the seat of the will. Our heart doesn't contain information. The heart is sort of an illustration of the place of our will, where we make choices to do right things or wrong things. It's the place of our will, our heart, mind, heart, life. So our actions, our life, comes back to what is the status of our heart. And our heart and its status and its direction is based upon what comes through the eye gates and the ear gates. What goes in the mind goes into the heart and comes out in the life. That's what I'm going to get you to see. And that's the principle or the idea that's taught in Scripture. Again, remember what Philippians 4:6-9 says. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So don't be anxious, but pray. And then he says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, noble, let me read it to you in a couple of modern translations. One translation of verse 8 there in Philippians 4 says it this way. Pay attention, listen carefully. You'll do best by filling your minds and meditating on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best, not the worst, the beautiful, not the ugly, things to praise, not things to curse. Or one translation said it this way, finally, brothers and sisters, keep your thoughts on whatever is right or deserves praise, things that are true, honorable, fair, pure, acceptable, or commendable. I think we have to be careful in a world of, well, fake news, but really bad news, that we can spend all of our time looking at bad news and bad things so that we're up on what's going on, but we haven't given any place to good things, noble things, praiseworthy things, aspects of who God is. Now, I want to pause for a second and get you to just consider this. If you read through your Bible a chapter a day, you won't finish the Bible in a year, but you'll be able to retain a lot from that. And you'd be surprised how many times you can read through some of the oldest parts of the Bible, even in the New Testament, take a chapter and you glean from that something about God that blows your mind. If we did that every day, our lives would change. The peace level in our lives would increase. Again, it's not about acquiring knowledge in and of itself, but it's knowing the person behind the writing. Knowing the principles that God wants us to follow and practice, whose mind is stayed on you. This is the place of perfect peace. So the question becomes pretty plain. What do you spend your time thinking about? You know, it's interesting because there's all kinds of things out there that kind of give a thought survey, if you will. Like, what do you spend your time thinking about? And there's all kinds of ideas out there. And let me just say, a majority of it is bad. We think about bad things. Why? Well, because when we don't walk in the Spirit, we default to the flesh. And the flesh likes contentions, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. And so we have to aim our minds, redirect our minds to the place of perfect peace. I think for a lot of us, we've experienced it very simply. We've sought the Lord in prayer, in His Word, and we've walked away more peaceful than when we started. And that is the practice that we need in our lives. And this is exactly what's talked about here, this place of perfect peace. God wants us to be sustained and be encouraged by leaning upon Him. To have this perfect peace, we have to have our minds focused on the Lord. And it's interesting because we're told not to have an empty mind, but a filled mind. You know that this is why Jesus said in Matthew 22:37 that we're to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. According to Romans 12:2, we're to be transformed in our minds. Apparently, our minds need to be reprogrammed with good things, with truth. So true. We're supposed to have the mind of Christ. We're supposed to set our minds on heavenly things, not on earthly things. And really, I could go on and all the lists of things the Bible tells us to think about. But we have to understand that all of that kind of relates back to the mind that stayed on the Lord. I think we could do an inventory. You know, sometimes when we're a bit grumpy, it happens to all of us. A lot of times it has to do with what we're thinking about. Like, I can tell you, at least in my life, many of the times that I've been frustrated with my kids or with my spouse hasn't been really anything that they've done. It's just that I'm thinking about something that's so intense, and it may be a good thing, but usually it's not. Usually it's some problem that I can't solve, and I'm a puzzle person, so I like to fix things. When I can't fix it, it drives me nuts. A lot of times we think about things that give us bad attitudes. We have to put our focus back in the right place. And this is what Isaiah is talking about in this verse. If our mind is stayed on ourselves or on our problems or the problem people in our lives, there's one that really strikes a chord. How many of you can think about someone in your life and you feel the tension rising inside of you? Well, don't sit there and ponder them all day long. Ponder the Lord. If you have someone in your life that really bothers you, pray for them and ask God to bless them. Ask God to work in their lives. And a lot of times we can focus on those things and we can't have perfect peace when we have our minds on those things. But the Bible says we can have perfect peace. We can have shalom, if we have our minds on the Lord. If we give God that place of focus in our lives. If we're going to have peace, we have to remain in the place of peace. And listen to this, with the Prince of Peace. You know, if you hang out with Jesus and He's the Prince of Peace, you're going to experience peace in your life as a follower of Christ. You know, one day a man said to his friend, he said, "Mister, you sure look worried." And the man responded, he said, "Man, I got so many troubles. If something else goes wrong with me today, I'm going to have to wait 2 weeks just to worry about it." And that's how a lot of us are. We've got worries on top of worries. Stuff that we're trying to figure out on stuff that we're trying to figure out. And don't get me wrong, there is a benefit and there is wisdom in planning ahead and in thinking through certain things. There's nothing wrong with that. But for a lot of us, we could take it way too far. How am I going to feel? What's it going to look like? What if this person is this? What if we start going crazy and our brains just start smoking? Smoke coming out of our ears. Not that that can really happen, but you know what I'm saying. And we have to get our minds back on the Lord. And it's a practice that if we do, we'll experience more peace. And our lives won't be controlled by the things going on around us, but will be directed strategically by the Lord to do His will. Lastly, here in verse 3, we're pointed to the practice of peace. And I love this because notice what it says. "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." What does the practice of peace look like? What does peace look like in a person's life? It looks like trust. You know, in the book of James, James lays it out that Abraham showed his faith by the things that he did. He wasn't saved by the things that he did. It revealed his trust. James says, "I'll show you my faith by my works." Because his faith is demonstrated in the things that he did. So put that faith word into the idea of trust. And when we trust the Lord, there is real action that takes place in our lives. Because he trusts in you. There is a confidence, there is a sureness in the perfect peace of God and the practice of peace. And Isaiah is saying that peace comes through having our minds on him, but that it's practically seen in a daily, tangible trust, an active faith. Remember, the mind to the heart to the life. And when our minds are in the right place, we're going to experience God's peace, and our actions are going to say a lot about where our trust really is. The practice of peace is really the reason behind the mind staying on the Lord, focused on the Lord. I mean, think about it. The purpose of focusing on the Lord, listen, is obedience, not just contemplation and meditation. And so understand that it's very important for us to have our minds on the Lord, but we have to understand that everything that God shows us about Himself and what His Word says, He wants us to follow through on those things. Here's what I'm simply saying. There's many times that we can think we're going to have peace in our lives if we just think about the right things, but God wants us to take it a step further. He wants us to do right things. We can sit around and read our Bibles and contemplate all day long, but if we're not following through with the direction of God's Word, well, then we're going to miss out. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. When we trust in the Lord, we don't lean on our own understanding. We lean on the Lord. We trust in Him. And for us to be sustained, established, and held up requires our active trust in the Lord. And the truth taught here in this verse is that the battle for our trust in our lives, it begins in our minds. And if we trust the Lord, guess what? It's going to show up in our actions. But it always begins in the mind. But it can't stay there. What does our level of trust reveal? Does it reveal peace? Or do our actions say no peace while our words say, I'm all good, I have peace? Peace and trust go hand in hand. And God's perfect peace is an awesome promise. It's an awesome blessing. It's an important provision, an important perspective. And it has to be an important priority in our lives. I want to close with just an illustration of how we can live when we're not operating in God's peace, when we're not leaning on the Lord, when we're not focused on the Lord. We can live in a place of fear and worry and anxiety. And it was probably about 20 years ago that this article had come out. It was a story about something that went on in a Massachusetts, up in Boston, Massachusetts. There was a gas station, and one of the attendants was cleaning the bathroom and found a $20 bill. When they opened up the $20 bill, there was a note inside of the $20 bill that said this: help, kidnapped, call the highway patrol. That was on one side. On the other side of the note, there was two Oklahoma phone numbers listed and a description of the vehicle: my Ford van, cream and blue, Oklahoma plates. So this person's like, thought they found 20 bucks, ends up thinking they found a crime scene. They call the police, and pretty soon within that time, they find out who these people were, and their faces were plastered all over televisions across the United States. They called the family members of these two people and said, you know, we found this note, and they've probably been kidnapped. And so they're sitting around waiting for people to call. All the families worked up. Everybody's scared to death. And as all this is going on, they get a phone call from the man. He says, oh, man, I was having such a good time. This place is so wonderful. And they're like, you don't even know what's going on. You're all over the news. Had no idea, and they were totally embarrassed. And what had ended up happening was the travel back from Massachusetts to Oklahoma was going to be done by the wife. Man was going to stay in Massachusetts, and the wife was going to return by herself. But because she was so scared of traveling by herself and was afraid and for sure, planning ahead, someone's going to kidnap me, she wrote a note beforehand, wrapped it in a $20 bill, put it in her purse. And what happened was she went to the bathroom in Massachusetts and she dropped the $20 bill. And so she's just driving, everything's all good. She didn't even know she lost her 20 bucks. I don't know if she got her 20 bucks back. But the whole thing was just something she did out of fear. And when our fears and our elaborate efforts to find security are usually brought out into the open, what once terrified us, a lot of times we see is just plain silly. And it shows us, it teaches us, stories like that show us that our true security is found in a deep, trust, active faith relationship with the Lord, having our minds in the right place. But aren't we prone to be people that worry, that try to control, that operate in fear? But God says, trust me, you can have my peace. Now, I will give the lady the benefit of the doubt. If you're driving through some rough areas of Oklahoma in the United States, maybe it does make sense to have a $20 bill with some of that information on it. But ultimately, it's only the Lord that's going to bring us peace. And this is a promise that we find, a promise that we come to here. And so we see this promise, this place, this practice. And I just want to encourage you that God's peace can be active in your life if you just put your focus in the right place. And let me just say strongly and with great exhortation, and eliminate a lot of the things that only stir up the hornet's nest of your sinful heart. And a lot of times there's places and people that we don't necessarily have to go and be around or be near, but we go there and then we're miserable because we're all stirred up. You know, it's like, well, sometimes maybe we need to cut some of those things out and have our focus on something different. And that's where we find God's perfect peace. And this is what the Bible teaches us. God's provision for us is peace. And we can have it in our lives. Let's pray.